Hello, Jordan.
Hello, Michael.
Welcome to the podcast.
How was your workout today?
Mediocre.
Okay. What'd you do?
Pull day. So remember when I started that Dante Trudell pre-workout?
Oh boy, do I. Yeah, absolutely.
This like concoction of basically taking effective dosage of many things and buying them in bulk rather than buying a specific company's pre-workout and putting it together. And he had recommended dosages in this video that he made. And I remember I followed it for probably a week before realizing that it was like, and by the way, he's like 260, just a ball of muscle. It was way higher doses than I needed and it would just tear through my GI tract. Like, we don't need to get into details, but basically I have a real scaled down version of that, eliminating probably half the ingredients, keeping what I liked and reducing the doses. Like even in some of them that were quote unquote clinically effective doses, I brought them down a little bit, but I made this mistake of thinking that adding some carbonated drink into the blender bottle before I shook it up
was a
good idea. And here's why, because I was using such a small amount, so it was mostly uncarbonated liquid, and two, the can had been opened in my refrigerator for about a week, so I figured it had gone mostly flat.
Yeah, yeah.
And for context, pomegranate juice and beet juice, pomegranate juice for the heart health benefits and just for carbs as like a pre and intra workout, and then beet juice for the vasodilation, are both in this pre-workout. And so when I shook it up and opened it, it exploded these white kitchen cupboards just painted in red.
Did like, it get all literally over like you a as well? Gunshot
everywhere, all over me, all over my hoodie, just painted the refrigerator, like just a massive explosion of red. So I cleaned that up and then went and got the pull day in.
Oh, how long did that take to clean up?
Probably a solid 20, 30 minutes with a full roll of paper towel.
Oh, that's no fun. All right.
No.
So you had to make a whole new shake after that as well.
No, because it was a very small, like, I don't know, it was maybe an ounce or two out of the 20-ounce bottle that actually left, but it in like a...
splatter fashion.
It was a circumference of like 15 feet.
Jeez.
Like,
yeah, that sucks. Did it get on the ceiling?
I didn't check. I really hope not. I'd rather just leave it there. Call it art. Yeah, man. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Got a great jiu-jitsu session in. I have my competition on the 23rd.
Of January?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing one a month, 2022, man.
When did this start?
I decided I was going to do it in 2021, years ago.
A year ago. This is the first time hearing of this.
Man, I could have swore I had told you this. No. Yeah, I'm ESTPing it up over here.
Do I need to be back on social media just so I can get tabs on your life? Is that
probably,
what
probably.
Is about to need to happen?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean... my whiteboard behind me, when I wrote my New Year's goals, I was like, all right, I need to do one. I want it because basically I've been doing jiu-jitsu for a little over 2 years now. And in those 2 years, I've competed 3 times. And for the first year, I didn't compete because I was just trying to get better at jiu-jitsu. And then once I started competing, so really in a year, I've competed 3 times. And I only competed 3 times because every time I would compete, I wanted to cut weight to the lower weight class so I would be more competitive there. But cutting that weight about 10 pounds, like that takes a significant amount of time and energy and I don't want to do it. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I just need to get better at competing. So like, regardless of what weight I'm at, regardless of if I have an advantage or disadvantage at my weight, I'm just going to go in and compete. So I was like, screw it. I'm not going to cut weight for these competitions. I'm going to do one competition a month for all of 2022 and just... I mean, that way in this year, I'll have 12 competitions, which is literally 4 times the amount that I had over the last year. So that's what I'm doing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what, one weight class higher?
Yeah, two? Just one. So I won't have one, to cut weight. Just one weight class up.
What, like one? Weren't was 155. It 139 or 140?
So my old one was I had to weigh 139 in order to compete at like 141 or so, just because the gi weighs like 3 or 4 pounds, and then this one is with the gi about 155, so I'll be fine.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And you're walking around just like under
150,
that
150-ish. Yeah.
Well, good luck, bro. Where is it?
It's in Dallas. It's a local tournament. So the main organization I compete with is IBJJF, the International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation, but that they don't have one this month that I saw that I could go to. So I just signed up for a new federation, like American Grappling Federation or something. So they have one literally 20 minutes away. So going to do that. And then next month I'll probably do IBJJF and we'll figure it out from there.
Let's go. I love it.
Yeah, man. So that's it. Everything's good. It's cool. I really feel this zone two improvements in my recovery. I was talking with my coach Alex about it today. He was saying, he was like, man, I remember when you first started doing jiu-jitsu with me, which I had already been doing jiu-jitsu for like a year and a half at this point. He was like, we did a couple of rounds and you were gassed and you couldn't do any more. But now, like today, we rolled for 40 minutes straight, nonstop, literally didn't stop once. And he was like, man, this is crazy. Like your cardio's improved so much. So yeah, it's really, really cool to see that improvement.
I mean, you've been going super hard on the cardio for months now.
Yeah. And the cool part is like, it's going hard as in being consistent, but the cardio I do is so easy. I do phone calls when I'm on the, when I'm doing, yeah, you know what, yeah, I mean?
Yeah. That's consistency. What I meant total hours a week.
Yeah.
Over the course of months, not like intensity within sessions. Yep.
I know you meant that. I meant like for the people listening, it's just like, it's not like I'm doing HIIT or sprints or anything. Actually, I did an awesome podcast with Alex Viata about it. Did you listen to that?
No, I haven't. I literally thought about it during my workout.
Yeah, definitely. It was an amazing, that he's so smart, man. That guy's an absolute genius. Unbelievable. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's a beast. I'm a fan. Well, sweet, bro. Good luck. 9 days.
Thanks, man. We doing a Q&A?
Let's dive in. I mean, just an episode a week. Got a little streak going here. Got a little momentum.
All right, let's see. How helpful is creatine when strength training, but you're still in a calorie deficit for weight loss?
Very helpful.
That's it? That's all they get? Yeah. I mean, the benefits of creatine don't get in the way of fat loss, and fat loss doesn't take away the need or the improvements that you can get from taking creatine. Like there, you can do both and you should do both simultaneously. Actually, it might even be more important to take creatine when you're trying to lose fat, just to hopefully help with muscle retention potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. There's if strength is a goal of yours, whether you're at maintenance or in a deficit or in a surplus, taking on average 20 to 25 grams of creatine per week just makes sense, right? It's heavily researched. It has been heavily researched for going on 4 decades now, I believe, and has been shown to be safe at those dosages and effective for the majority of people. So I think it's a no-brainer. I'm also, it's funny you mentioned Alex Viata just now because it's probably been a year at this point, but he had a PowerPoint presentation on a lot of the other benefits, like non-strength benefits of creatine, talking about heart health, talking about potential benefits neurologically. So there may be other reasons besides strength where supplementing with creatine is beneficial as well.
Okay. I always find my willpower down half a packet of chips. Where do you find yours? So where do you find your willpower, Michael?
We can talk about where our individual metrics fall, but I'm going to give her a lot of credit because I think that it's rare for people to quote unquote find their willpower in this context after half a packet of chips.
Yeah.
And myself included very often is if I'm that far into something that I didn't plan on eating for the day, and let's pretend I'm trying to lose fat at the time and pretty dialed, I either have it or I don't. Meaning once I'm down half a packet of chips, half a can of Pringles, half a bag of caramel corn, half a whatever, I'm eating a lot, you know, 3 cookies in, I'm eating 12 cookies. I'm eating 15. Like, I'm not, once I've started, it's gonna be a lot of dessert calories. So to be able to recognize where you're at in that moment and cut the damage and then make the rest of the day solid and as you planned, I think that's unbelievably impressive and makes you more likely to be successful at achieving whatever goal you're after and maintaining a healthy body weight in the future.
So I know you said that you, like, if you get halfway down, you're just going to eat the whole thing. Or if you have 3 cookies, you're just going to have 12 cookies. When do you get back on track? Where do you find that willpower? The next day? Like, when is it?
Sleep resets for me every single, like,
sleep resets your willpower.
Or if I mean, sleep or fullness, meaning if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and, you know, we'll just use Oreos as an example. I had 4 and then I had 8 and then I had 15 of them and whatever, wherever I get full, sometimes I'm not just going to like call the day right there and like, okay, I'm just going to eat whatever for the rest of the day. My next meal. So if that's at 3 o'clock, then when I'm hungry again, 6, 7 PM, I might have a solid, you know, dinner, like normal food, protein, vegetable, starch, what I planned on eating. But if it's later at night, then yeah, the next day I'm right back on track. If it's a Friday night, I'm right back on track the next day. I'm not waiting till Monday. I'm not waiting till the first of the next month. I'm like never letting it slide more than a day.
Yeah, I like that. I like the concept of never having 2 bad days in a row, right? Where it's like,
yeah,
I think it's just a very easy way. It's like, cool, if you have 1 off day, just like make sure the next day you get right back on it. And that's actually why I like the calendar, where you can mark your consistent days and inconsistent days, because you can see like, cool, so you had an inconsistent day. Don't let the next day be inconsistent. Like, you don't want to have 2 of those in a row just for the momentum purposes of it. Like, you know, Gary would always say like momentum is real. Like he'd always talk about like the momentum is real. Like it is, like when you get in that momentum, whether it's going the way you want or the opposite direction of what you want, the momentum is real and it will roll whatever way you have it going.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to be able to visualize it with a consistency calendar and see like, cause the momentum can go the other way too.
Mm-hmm.
You start accruing a few bad days and then it's like, oh, I'm just off now. And you know, that can, you're basically setting yourself back a number of days, weeks, months in terms of achieving whatever end goal you're after.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, here's one. We're not going to answer. The question is, do you offer online personal coaching? I'm in Australia and I'm going to answer this. Obviously, like I'm not doing one-on-one coaching right now. That just reminded me that we have a big sale for the mentorship coming next week. And if you want to do online coaching, if you want to build your online coaching business, go to the link in the show notes and sign up for our email list, because we have a huge sale coming. We only do this once a year. And so if you want to get on our email list, you can be notified when that sale goes live. So you can join the mentorship. We can help you build your online coaching business. Don't miss that. So go to the link in the show notes right now, put your name and email in there, and you'll be notified when that sale goes live. So we can help you build your online coaching business.
Yep.
All right. Here's a question. What is your best business advice for 2022?
Man, I don't know if I can just give one piece of advice. I feel like we can just rant and riff on this one. The first thing that comes to mind for me is somewhat cliche, but if you're just starting your online business, if you're just starting your online coaching business, if you're early in your online coaching business, don't think about 2022, meaning don't try to make it, quote unquote, this year. Don't try to make this a full-time job. Don't try to make as much money as possible in this year. Don't sacrifice things like, you know, your integrity, reputation. Like, don't make sacrifices just for money, for short-term gain in this year. Don't sell things you don't believe in. Don't be dishonest. Don't, like, we can talk about 2022 and we can talk about like platforms that are doing well right now. And we can talk about this year specifically, but I would think about growing your business in terms of how many people can you help in a 5 to 10 year window, not just during this year.
I like that. You know, it's funny, you know, my buddy David was just here this last week. He just left today and my buddy David, who I grew up with him, wrestled with him from the time I was really young. And he has a lot of knowledge about health and fitness and nutrition and strength training. He's thinking about getting into the fitness industry. So he just came here. He wanted to visit me and see me, but also like just to see what I do on a daily basis. But I told him, he wanted to come and see what I do on a daily basis, but I had to let him know. I was like, man, just so you know, what I do today is very different than what I did for the first 5 years or so of trying to build my online business. And I think it's a really, people try and like copy what I do now. It's like, it's a very different stage of my journey or my process in a business. And it was funny because I have all of the documents that I created from 2011. Like I started my business in July 2011. I have all of my goals sheets. I still have everything because it's all been in the same folders. And I showed him what my goals were like. I showed him what my daily routine was set up like. And I had it all written out, which was really cool for him to see. And one of the things that he was really taken aback by was that my daily actions for the first about 4 to 5 years were literally exactly the same for this first 4 to 5 years. Like they didn't change at all. They were, for example, for the first 4 to 5 years, that I have this system of daily to-do list, which basically I have my top one, which is my do or die activity. Like I have one thing every day that I must get done no matter what. It's the do or die. If I do nothing else, it doesn't matter as long as I get that done. Then I have my daily medication, which is like 2 to 3 things that are important but don't need to be done today. They're not like, they don't need to be done immediately. And then I have 3 to 5 things on the bottom, which are my nap time activities, which like I can do instead of procrastinating, whether it's emails or client programs or something, things that are relatively easy for me to do, and it will help me progress forward. So I had all those listed out all the way from 2011 until like 2017. And the number one thing for the first 4 or 5 years was number one website article. I was like the number one thing I had to do every day. And he was like, wait, so did you write a new one every day? I was like, no, it takes about a week to write a really good article. And I would publish on Monday. So I would, the number one thing every day is I just had to work on the article that was going to be published on Monday, because I didn't want to wait until Sunday to try and write a great article. It's like, I need to do the research, or I need to think of the topic. I need to do the research for it. I need to write the first draft. I need to get the pictures and images for it. I need to do all of that. And that takes about a whole week to write a really good article. That was literally the first thing on my to-do list every day for the first 4 to 5 years. And then I also had, anyone who's followed me for a long time will remember, I used to write these things called strength lessons on my personal Facebook page before I even had a business page. Just every day I would write one strength lesson. Could be anything, any tip. You know, some days where they were motivation, some days they were strength training, some days they were nutrition. Some days, Wednesday was workout Wednesday. I'd give a free workout, blah, blah, blah. Like had that every single day for 4 to 5 years. I would share 3 articles from other fitness professionals. So I would share articles from Eric Cressy. I'd share articles from Tony Genagor, from Mike Robertson, from Joel Jamieson, from Dan John, from Pavel Satsi. And I'd share their articles because I realized it, number one, just giving out good information is always good for your audience. It doesn't matter if it necessarily is written by you, as long as you share good information and they know where they can find good information. If you're that person where they can find good information, then great. It doesn't hurt your brand to share someone else's content ever, especially if it's good. And I remember David was looking through it and he was like, man, it literally didn't change for like 4 to 5 years. I was like, dude, I literally did the same exact shit every single day for 4 to 5 years. It was not, it's not like this crazy articulate business plan. It's not super fun or sexy or whatever. And at that time, I didn't think about it. I wasn't like, oh, this is going to work. It was just like, this just makes sense. It was like, I'm just going to keep doing this until an audience builds. And that's what happened.
I love it. I especially love the unsexy aspect to it, because so many people's minds go to, what is the system? What is the, you know, what's the advertising scheme? What's like, how do I grow it fast? And it literally, for both of us, but I love that you had it documented in a way that like proved it out for David looking at it, was just, I'm going to work hard to make free, helpful, accessible, educational content for anyone to consume. I'm going to do it daily on Facebook. I'm going to do it weekly on website. I'm going to do it. And then, you know, even if you didn't have it fully documented, like then 2017 shifted to Instagram, like you were doing it in other places, but it's like, it's still just in the dirt, in the mud, just every single day, working a lot of hours without the expectation of getting anything in return, but just making stuff that's going to help people, not worrying about the immediate, like not worrying about the conversion of clients this week, not worrying about how much money you're making this month, literally just focusing on the day and the objectives of the day, not the results, the objectives, what you need to do to help people without expecting anything else in return, and doing that day after day after day after day for 5 years.
Yeah. That's exactly
for
right.
For 5 years. Like,
yeah.
It's, if this is putting people off from wanting to get into work in the fitness industry, putting you off from wanting to start a business, putting you off from wanting to be an online coach, good, because this is the reality of what it is. Like, it's not fast. It's not, in very rare instances, are you going to go from zero to like building a massive business in a very short period of time. Neither of us did. Like, it's a real grind, and it takes time and continuous effort. And I think it's important for people to know that, to know like the road that you're about to start on. But if you're willing to do that, if you want, if you enjoy that, if you enjoy helping people, and if you enjoy, you know, training, nutrition, behavioral change, like if you enjoy this stuff in general, then it could be a great path for you. Yeah, man.
You know, and the more I think about it, the more that's what I did with everything. Like, even when things changed, I didn't do a ton of different stuff. You know, it was like I did website articles for the first like 5 years, 3 to 4 years or so. Then I switched to email list, and I really just focused on the email list for like 2 years. And then I went to Instagram, and I just focused on Instagram for like 2 or 3 years. And then I went to YouTube, and I just did that for about a year and a half or 2 years. And then, and it's that every time I do something, I'm not trying to focus on everything, right? I'm not trying to build every single platform. I'm not like trying to be everywhere at the same time. I'm not trying to be the best everywhere. I'm just trying to be the best in one place. And I think that's what you've done as well, right? It's like, you look at your business model, it hasn't been crazy all over the place. It's just, you've been the best in one place at what you do. And I think there's a lot to be said for being the best in one place rather than trying to be the best everywhere or to be good everywhere. Because when you can be the best in that one place, you own that market. You own that place. Everyone knows you. Everyone wants to work with you. It's much better to go all in on one than to try and be like haphazardly everywhere. Now, with that said, I think it does matter where you try and become the best. For example, being the best somewhere, anywhere is always good. But for example, I would not want to be like the best on Twitter, for example, like just based on where people are going to, where you're probably going to get the most business. I don't think Twitter would be where like I would choose to put all of my time and effort to. I want to be the best fitness person on Twitter. It doesn't mean it would be bad. If you were the best fitness person on Twitter, you'd still probably have a phenomenal business and you could lead people in many, many places. But I think, I mean, if someone's going to like, where would you spend your time now in 2022? The people in the mentorship are going to know exactly what I'm about to say and what we're both going to say. But it's like, if I started all over again from scratch, I would still go back to website articles.
Yep.
It's like
100%.
If you could, and we've seen this time and time again in the mentorship with the people who take the article writing challenges seriously, they come up number one on Google. Like all the time, their articles are beating our articles now, yep. on like for Google, because they're updating their website more consistently than us, and they're like certain search terms are coming up number one on Google.
And following the guidance of the SEO course,
yep.
And then during the website, the article challenges, yeah, which is so fun to see. So you're 100% right, and people do get overwhelmed by feeling like they have to be everywhere. How can I create consistently on 8 different platforms? It's overwhelming and obviously is going to lead to burnout for 99.99% of people. But you're making a great point that you don't have to be everywhere, and it's actually better to focus on one or two platforms. You said Twitter alone might not be the best place, and I agree with that. There are definitely better places to be. If you're someone who really enjoys Twitter, though, the pairing of a short form and a long form – Twitter plus email list or Twitter plus website is interesting. Just like the combination of TikTok plus YouTube or TikTok plus article or TikTok plus potentially podcast, like because they can all serve as, when you think about breadth versus depth, they can all serve as organic reach, or the majority of these things we're talking about, website, YouTube, you know, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, that you can find new audience in all of these places. But then the long form content is really an anchor for deep education, building that trust with your community, and a place for someone to, you know, really consume hours and hours of your work, which is often what leads to coaching clients.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. The other thing that I've found Twitter very helpful for, because I still use it almost every day, I use Twitter as a testing ground. I use Twitter as a testing ground for content, for what things people are interested in, what things people are like, how to phrase certain things. Like, I could tweet the same thing 5 times, but in different ways. And it's sort of like you're split testing is what it comes down to. Like, if you know anything about marketing or advertising, there's something called a split test, where like you basically run the exact same advertisement, or like almost the exact same advertisement, with like one or two tweaks to two different audiences, and you see which one performs better. And you can say like, okay, cool, so maybe this one performed better because we used the word fuck, and in this one we didn't use the word fuck, and like for whatever reason that got people's attention, or like this headline, whatever it is. And so I use Twitter as my way of being like, okay, this is a type of content that people are really going to be interested in hearing about on Instagram or on TikTok or on YouTube or in my email list or a whole website article. So because I remember David was asking me, he was like, how do you come up with ideas for content? And the number one way I do ideas for content that I always did is just, what are my clients asking me? Like, what are they asking me? What questions do they have? And I would just answer them publicly. But
and if you don't have clients yet, what do your friends ask you about working out? What does your uncle ask you at Thanksgiving? Like,
yeah, or like, let's say, I mean, listen, if you are interested in health and fitness, you're definitely getting people asking you questions. But I mean, for example, I do a Q&A on my story 5-6 times a week. Go look at the questions I'm being asked in my Q&A and make content answering those questions. Obviously, don't plagiarize me, but take the question that someone asked me and make a response to it in your own words, or in your own, like in writing it, make a video, whatever, tweet about it, something. Those questions are great. Look at the comment section of my post. Like, you'll get tons of questions. Go into different fitness communities online, or go to a fitness magazine in CVS or Walgreens or whatever. They have all these fitness magazines, and they're going to like have all these headlines, like the best superset for muscle growth. It's like, I don't know if their content is good or not, but you could talk about, what are supersets? How to build muscle? Are supersets good for muscle growth? There you go. There's another piece of fucking content right off the top of my head. It's like, you HIIT workouts, walking, cardio, fuck it. Like, there's so much shit you could talk about. It's mind blowing. But if you don't know, then just look in comment section, look at Q&As, go to magazines, see what people are talking about, see what buzzwords are, and talk about that stuff.
What did David come to any kind of decision or resolution, or was he pushed further one way versus the other, or?
I don't really know. I mean, he seems like, David is like a, he I don't think, David, I don't know, to be honest. David doesn't necessarily want to just do one thing. Like, I don't think he just wants to do fitness. I don't think he just, because he's also an actor. I don't think he just wants to act. I think he wants to have his hand in like 10 different pots. So like, which is cool. Like, that's fine. So I think we'll see. I have no idea.
Cool. What's interesting is that actually works, except when you're in the building phase.
Correct.
In my experience, like, you can get to a place where you can then put your hand in multiple pots, but building an online fitness business requires at least a few years of fully dedicated work.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? Chris Gates comes to mind, who has a full-time job, and I don't even know how many clients at this point in the mentorship.
Yeah.
Like, there are...
I think he said he's got like 25 when he spoke to him, right? Is he like 25 clients, something like that?
I don't remember. But
yeah.
I remember it being in that range, yes. And yeah, working a full-time job in education that he enjoys. Like, there's... maybe that's the anomaly. Like, I want to be conservative with the advice we're giving and say, hey, don't try and be a jack of all trades and only spend 1/8 of your time on building a fitness business and expect it to blow up in 18 months.
Right, exactly.
Like the highest probability of guaranteeing yourself the highest probability chance of success is going to be, you know, dedicate a few years to this being your main thing. But yeah, even if you're splitting time, you can grow your fitness business as a side hustle and then potentially make the decision of, okay, do I like what my main gig is? Or now that I've built the side hustle up into something that is meaningful, you know, I have 12 clients. Like, do you want to make that your full-time gig?
You also got to ask yourself, what is success for you, right? Like, is success just based on, I don't know, 15 to 25 clients? Paying like that could be an amazing form of success. Another form of like supplementary income to your family. You're able to help people is success. Because for some people, success is they just want to have a lot of followers, which I think is a pretty, I don't want to say that goal is shitty, but it's a shitty goal. Like it is. It's a shitty goal. It's a shitty goal for a lot of reasons. But like, let's say that's your goal. Let's say I just want to get a ton of followers. Da da da. If you want to get a lot of followers, aside from being someone who's just super fucking hot and only has like pervs following you and like you just post basically softcore porn, I'm assuming you don't want to go down that route. If you want to build a lot of followers solely based off of your intellect and your ability to help people, that's a much more difficult route to go down. And it's not that I would say is not necessarily, that's not as bad of a goal. It's just like just purely wanting more followers. But if you want to build a huge audience based off of your intellect and your knowledge and your ability to help, that's, you can't do that part-time. You can't, that is a full-time job. But if your definition of success or what you're striving for has less to do with how many followers you have and more to do with just creating a great supplementary income or even like six-figure income, you can absolutely do this as like a part-time thing, but just understand it's not going to happen in a year. Like that, it's not going to happen in 2022. It might happen by 2027 or 2026, having a part-time career as this and literally bringing in an extra six figures, very, very doable. It's actually like, it's honestly shocking how doable it is, but like, it's probably not going to happen within a year. And I think a lot of people associate tons of followers with success. And it's a false equivalency. It's not accurate. It's not how it works. I know people with tons of followers who are struggling, never mind money. They're struggling money-wise, but they're not happy. They're not
mentally,
in a good place.
Emotionally.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think striving for the goal of a lot of followers is one of those things that, in today's day and age, that's how people get famous, right? And it's easy to like, well, I want to be famous. I want people to like me. I want to have a lot of followers because I'll get free stuff sent to me and I can be an influencer and then I can use my discount code and da 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 da. It's like, it's a crock of shit. Just, it is. And if you just want to be able to support yourself and your family and live a great lifestyle, you don't need that at all.
Yeah. You're speaking truth that I wouldn't know unless I had been on the other side of it. And that is that you can have a ton, hundreds of thousands of followers and be struggling financially from a business perspective. And the opposite, if you're making good educational content, you can have a few thousand followers and have a full client roster. And we see it all the time.
Yep.
And that's important to know when you're goal setting and deciding what you want. But yeah, I couldn't agree more that like, I just think fame for the sake of fame is a bad goal. And I think we've probably talked about this in depth in previous episodes over the last couple years. But there's it's actually a line from Cool Runnings that I really like.
I love that Cool movie. Runnings? Of course. Drew a line down your head. Make it look like a butt.
I think it's John Candy late in the movie, and it's worth a rewatch. I might actually rewatch it in the next week here. But he says something to the effect of, if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it.
I remember that.
And the type of person who feels the need for fame and accolades, like whatever is missing on the inside, do you feel like that's going to fix it? That's not going to fix it.
Yeah, that's so true.
There's an endless amount of that, you know, not to mention that you're just going to reset your bar once you're at 10,000, then you're going to want X. And once you're at 50, and it just keeps, once you're at a million, you're looking around at these people at 10 million, like it's a never ending game.
And what you end up looking, it's not, then the followers don't meet as much, because then it's like, well, then if I have this many followers, how come I'm not getting that many likes? And they have less followers than me, but they're getting more likes and da 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 da. It's like you're always going to change it because you're never happy with where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why 1,000 true fans is such a cool, that Kevin Kelly piece from a decade ago. It's like, that's a real business model where, you know, it is you're taking attention and then you're monetizing it in some way. And he uses the example of like a band. But you can have a great business that gives you meaningful work that you enjoy, that helps people, that puts food on the table, that also leads to you not running into this like mega fame problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or desire for mega fame. Great question.
That was a good one. All right. What is your best advice for staying consistent with working on my business?
So my mind first goes to something that leads to people, coaches, being able to be consistent is enjoying their process, enjoying what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. And you can make content of a certain kind and really, really enjoy that, or make the same type of content, talking about the same type of stuff or writing about it or filming about it, but it being in a different format, a different medium, video versus audio versus written versus short form, and not enjoy it. So early on, picking a platform or two, going hard on them for a period of time, and then backing up and reassessing how much you enjoy that process. Has it been successful? But over time, tasting a handful of platforms and then picking the ones that you enjoy making content on the most.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you did 3 months of YouTube and realized that you really, really don't like being on video for whatever reason, you don't like editing, you don't, whatever about it that you don't like, but you realize that you do enjoy writing, like you really enjoy waking up early and putting in a few hours, writing 1,000 words every single day and like posting on your website and you're enjoying that process, then you should do the one you enjoy more, because you're going to be able to be more consistent.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many ways to go with this question. And I think, you know, I sort of wanted to just go for the, I want to go sort of for the harder truth, like it's fucking hard. Like it really is hard.
To be consistent.
It's super hard, man. Like it's really, really difficult. And, I know we've spoken about this before and I've told the story before, but I think it's worth repeating that I very much believe that the main reason that I was able to stay consistent when I first started is because I didn't realize that a business was possible, right? Like when I first started in 2011 writing articles, I didn't realize that you could make money online. I didn't know. I didn't know PayPal existed. I didn't know people would pay for online coaching. I was purely writing articles because I wanted to be able to help people, and I wanted to be like a coach that had I wanted to be a coach that people knew they could come to for help. And I figured the best way I could do that was to emulate the people who I admired the most, like Eric Cressy and Dan John and Pavel and Mike Robertson, all these guys. So I just did what they did, which was write articles, because Instagram didn't exist yet. And I was just cool. Like, this is what you do if you want to be a coach that is known as a coach that helps people. And, I had no clue that money was available, as I didn't know that, like, I still wanted to open a gym in person because I thought that was the progression of what happens, that you build an online presence and you can open your own gym and then people will like come visit the gym, but you'll have a great facility and all this stuff. So that's what I started off doing. And when that was my whole perception of what was possible, my form of payment in air quotes was just when someone liked the article, or if someone wrote me a message and said, hey, that article was really helpful, thank you so much. That was enough for me to say, like, cool, it's worth it. Like, the 20 hours I spent making that article, formatting it, editing it, all that stuff, it was worth it because one person was like, that helped me a lot. And I don't say that in a self-righteous way. Like, it wasn't because I'm morally better, ethically better, or self-righteous. It was literally just because I didn't know money was available from this. And I think we see so many coaches quit now because they expect quick money. They expect, okay, I post 7 times on Instagram and I should have clients. It's like, that's not how this fucking works. It's like, it takes a long time. It's sort of the same reason why so many people quit their fitness goals, because they see someone on Instagram say that they lost a ton of weight in 30 days. And then when they don't lose the same amount in 30 days, they think that they're a failure and they quit. Well, it's like, well, number one, that person didn't actually lose that much in 30 days. And even if they did, do you see how much they gained back within the next 2 weeks and all this stuff? It's like, so then they think they're a failure because they didn't get the same thing as what the other person did. Whereas if they just stayed consistent with it and didn't quit, then they would have gotten there and probably even better. They just had to stay consistent. So the point I'm trying to outline here is, number one, it's very fucking hard. It's really, really difficult. And number two is, especially at the beginning and early on, I'd say within the first year to 2 years, doing your best to take the focus off of money as success or followers as success, and just taking any comment that you get, any like, hey, this was really helpful, or hey, I appreciated this. Someone leaves a comment on your Instagram post, this was great. That this was great should make your day. That should motivate you to write another article or make another post. And you better not just give them like a thumbs up emoji response. You better like say, thank you so much, I really appreciate you saying that. Send them a message to like, hey, thank you so much for commenting that, I really hope you enjoyed the article, da 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 da, whatever. Like, that's how you build a thank you economy. That's how you build a great sustainable business that people will love you, they'll appreciate you, they'll continue to read and learn from your content. And it builds a culture of appreciation, but also a culture of like, I love what I do because I know it's helping people.
Amazing. I'll add one last little different answer to the question, which is make content about something you enjoy. So when you were saying in those first couple of years, when you were talking about what you were doing, you said you were emulating those coaches who you had immense respect for. I thought you were also going to say, like, you were researching things that you were interested in for yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I've seen you to this day, like, you know, having Alex Viad on the podcast to grill him on Zone 2 because you're deeply passionate about that right now. Not only ending up on platforms you enjoy, but talking about concepts and topics that you're very interested in personally, selfishly, not choosing content ideas purely from the perspective of what's popular, what's in, what will get clicks, what will people respond well to. Although that matters, right? Like, you know, it's hard to build a fitness business and not talk about fitness at all since day one. But within fitness, making content around subjects that you're interested in.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Whatever that is, if that's, you know, just because you see a market opportunity, just because you see a lot of women signing up for online coaching, that doesn't mean you should start making content about like scale weight fluctuations around
Correct.
Her period.
Yeah.
Like, unless it interests you, unless you really want to dive in on that, then do it. But don't do it for the outcome. Do it simultaneously because you're very interested in what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's super important. I remember like back then, most of my content was around powerlifting, West Side Barbell, like all that. That's what I was interested in. And then the more I got into fat loss and I was studying like Lyle McDonald and Alan Aragon, I would start writing more about that. And then even now, I don't know, did I tell you I hired Alex to be my new coach for fitness?
Yeah, yep. You did tell me that.
I've done this so many times with people that I wanted to learn from, right? Well, whether it was going out of my way to intern at Westside, intern at Cresty Performance, hire Paul Carter to be my coach. I hired Brian Cron to be my coach when I was living in Israel. Hiring Alex to be my coach now. Like I hire a jujitsu coach. Like, I hire people I want to learn from, especially when it's something I'm really passionate about. And I think that that's another really important aspect of staying consistent, is essentially like being held accountable, but also learning from someone who knows more than you do, and being okay with that, right? Like, when you invest in somebody who knows more than you know, who's better at it than you are, and you can appreciate that and accept that, not take it as a slight against your ego, but like, hey, they know more than me. This person knows more than me. I want to learn more from them. Then you set yourself up for success, and you are going to be held more accountable. You have more skin in the game, which is why I hire people all the time. It's why I just hired Alex. I'm super excited to work with him. Like, I think I'm going to learn so much more. I know I will learn more from working with him more quickly than I would like if I was just going to read a book, for example, because I'll see it practically applied. And I'll also say, like, shameless plug as well, that's why you should join the mentorship, because that's what we're going to do for you, right? Like, we're going to help keep you accountable. We have challenges for you every month. Not to sound cocky, but like, if you're listening to this, we probably know more about building an online fitness business than you do, and we're very good at it. And the people in the mentorship are the proof of that. And so we would love to have you. Again, if you want to join during the sale, click the link in the show notes, join our email list, put your name and email in there. We will send you an email when the sale is live. Again, we only do this once a year, but if you're ready to be held accountable and to learn from us so that you can build your online fitness business, we would love to have you in the mentorship. So make sure you sign up in the email in the link in the show notes so we can send you that sale link.
Great. Yeah. Just to echo what Jordan said, we would love to have you if it interests you. And thanks for listening. Great episode. We will be back next week, and wishing you a great week.
Have a good one.